Morning, my name's John, and I'm delighted to be here. And I was thinking of taking you up on your offer, Jane, going out the back and making a lot of noise, but I thought I'd better stay here instead. Don't you love those readings? Our Father God, we thank you for your grace and mercy to us. We thank you that we are who you are because of who Jesus is and what he's done. And as many of us have spent so much time with family celebrating Christmas and embracing the new year, a new year of your grace, please, we pray, may your Holy Spirit work in us to draw us closer and closer to Jesus Christ. Amen. So Matthew 6 is what I'll draw my comments from, although I think Psalm 73 has got to be one of my favourite psalms. And it says, verse 25 says, "Earth has nothing I desire besides you." What a great way to start off 2024. Earth has nothing I desire besides you. I guess many of us make New Year's resolutions at this time of year. I'm sad to say I have never kept one. I've given up then. So I do not make New Year's resolutions. But I think, as Nathan has set this course for us for 5 weeks, that it is an opportunity to reflect on the last year and to think about the year to come and perhaps even to learn from some of our mistakes and to reset, by the grace of God, the course that he has for us. Like many of you, we have had a time with family over Christmas, and I think perhaps like many of you, it's been a time of a mixed, I would say. I'm not going to say Christmas was all fluffy and tinsel. Well, it was, but underneath it, there's a lot more pain. So Jenny and I have survived Christmas. I will put it that way. But sadly, there was one member of our extended family who did not, which is always the case with us, isn't it? In the midst of life, we're faced with the reality of death. So I think it's wonderful that we come to this time that we can think deeply about last year and think consciously about our journey with Jesus this year. In Matthew 5 to 7, it's called the Sermon on the Mount. And we're looking at the middle of that sermon today. Jesus says the life of a Christian is to be markedly different to that of the world in which we live. And we may indeed celebrate Christmas, but I would contend that Jesus, the reason for Christmas, is just shoved to the background, to the periphery. But for us, for you and me, we're to live for Christ. Nathan uses this wonderful, helpful metaphor of this boat, this ship upon which we're all now sailing. But it's a different ship. That's the whole, I guess that's the nutshell of Jesus' sermon here. It's a different ship. It's a different ship to the world's, the way the world is travelling on, the boat, the ship that the world is travelling on. We have a different captain, for instance. We're sailing a different way and we're going to a destination that we know that is guaranteed for us, that is sure. And amidst all the mess that will be 2024 for some of us, we hold on to Christ. We hold on to him. 2024 may bring its challenges for us. There may be stormy water, if I can continue to extend that metaphor. There may be stormy water ahead for us. Or even worse, there may be plain sailing. But we have an anchor for our souls, no matter what the future holds. So here in Matthew 6, Jesus issues, I'm going to summarize it with two calls, as many things I could say, but two calls. A call to loyalty, a call to trust him, because he alone, Jesus alone, can bear the load of our trust. He alone can bear the weight of our loyalty. And he will not let you down, he will not let me down, and he will not let us go. That's his commitment to us in 2024, which is where we should start. So he demonstrates why the ways of the world so empty and foolish, and how we can cast all our cares on him because he's trustworthy. So my first point I want to make in verses 19 to 24 is undivided loyalty. Thank you very much. There it is. Undivided loyalty. And there's a nice little ship to the side that I nicked from Nathan. Jesus gives this extended contrast between the way the world expresses its loyalties and the way we're to express ours. But he doesn't just say, trust me, don't trust things of this world. He says, he shows us why those things the world thinks of as great are folly and waste. And of course he has to start with money. And I think, I'm not preaching this to you, I'm preaching it to me first, okay? The first one is money. I really wish I could just say, well, let's just leave part that right there, but I can't do that. Money. The world tells us that money makes the world go round, and to all appearances, money is powerful, but it's not trustworthy. The key thought that Jesus expresses here is that money is easily lost. It won't last. I had two friends. They've both gone home to glory now. And they both worked hard during their life. And like many of us, they had this wonderful thing called superannuation. And they entrusted their money to the superannuation, and they had a fund manager, and so that when they retired from active work, from full-time work, they would be able to live. And of course, you can probably imagine what happened as they put all their money into this particular fund. The guy scarpered. He disappeared. He left overseas with their money and the money of so many other people. Jesus told us beforehand, treasure is so easily lost. It doesn't last. Now, don't fool ourselves. Money is attractive to us. In the media last year, they gave the statistics on Australia's gambling habits because people we're hooked on it. And they're appalling. The statistics are terrible. They gamble because people gamble because they want money. They actually believe money will answer their problems. Jesus doesn't downplay the role of money. In itself, it's not evil. But the love of money that he warns us against here. And of course, I was surprised to see in the paper last year, many of you may know, I live in Dapto, and the news agency that won the most lotto last year, Dapto. There you go. People just go in there and they queue up and they want money because it's got them. Friends, it seems to offer so much more than it delivers, so we're not to be fooled. We're to be wise. Don't get so caught up. Our loyalty, you see, is not to money and things of this earth, but it's in heaven. Money has its uses, but it also has its limitations. Don't transfer your loyalty from Jesus. In verses 22 and 23, Jesus again speaks about this single-mindedness, this undivided loyalty to him. The word good in verse 22 is perhaps better described as single. Jesus warns about being distracted from God. You see, we're on, again, his ship, the ship he built. It's called the world. And outside of us, there are these incredible distractions. There are these things that we think are our priorities that are not our priorities. And the world looks so attractive. As in Psalm 73, we think, oh my goodness, they're doing so well out there. All those people I know who have got beautiful cars, mansions worth $5 million, and jobs that pay more money than I'll earn in a lifetime. And we think, wow, that is so attractive. And it gets me. Probably gets you too. And we think, you know, I've been a good Christian man, and look what's happening to me. That's why he complains in Psalm 73. And he said, if I spoke like that, I'm betraying God, and I'm betraying your people. Because it's not so. It's not so. Those who are far from you will perish. But as for me, it's good to be near God. I've made the sovereign Lord my refuge, and I will tell of all your deeds. Maybe we could make that the verse, the sentence that starts our year. Jesus says we can't serve two masters, but the temptations will continue to raise for us to compromise, to go for the best of both worlds. If our loyalty is divided, we're in danger. And that's why Jesus warns us against placing our confidence in anything else. Nothing lasts other than God's kingdom. Give them away then. Possessions, worldly philosophies, money, power. They promise much, yet give us nothing. But you might be thinking, well, I'm actually not in that boat at the moment. There are some of us here who are not extraordinarily wealthy. So what is this to say to us? And in the second half of the chapter, Jesus says, this is how we'll know when we're being caught up in the ways of the world. And that's when we start to worry. It's a great way to start the year, isn't it? Talking about money and then worry. What a fantastic way to start the year. My worries have started already, and it's only 7 days into this year. Worry or anxiety is like litmus paper. It warns us when there's a change, when our loyalties are indeed being in danger of being divided. Worry affects us all, but Jesus warns us against it because it most likely means we've allowed something to take precedence over him. So my second point is unswerving trust. Undivided loyalty and unswerving trust. Because worry is the opposite of trust. I don't need to ask God to forgive me daily because I don't trust and I worry. And Jesus here, he reassures us that God cares for us, and those beautiful descriptions of how God cares for his world. And are you not more valuable than them? And the answer is yes, you are. You are so valuable that Christ Jesus would give his life in your place. He invites us to pray, not to worry. Prayer is an exercise, you see, of trust. It acknowledges our complete dependence on God and recognizes that he's in control. In fact, worry won't do anything, says Jesus. Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? I probably need that verse on the fridge as well. There's a guy who is in business, and he drew up a chart in which he kept a record of his worries. I'm not advocating you do that because it's too confronting. But he discovered that 40% of them were about things that would probably never happen. 30% concerned past decisions that he could not now undo. 12% dealt with other people's criticism of him. And 10% were worries about his own health. He concluded that only 8% were really legitimate. Worry is like a rocking chair. It'll give you something to do, but it won't get you anywhere. Four simple questions to help, I think, slice our worries in half. At least, what's the real problem here? What's the real problem? What's the cause of the problem? What are the possible solutions to the problem? And what solution's best? Look, be realistic. We all have to deal with worry at some stage. And there are some legitimate worries. It's only when worry distracts us from serving and trusting Christ that we need to deal with it. We need to deal with it in prayer. And perhaps repentance in our prayers is again something to build in 2024. Verse 33 is the key, though. Our priorities are to be different because we're headed for eternity. So don't allow our worldly worries, money, or problems to distract us from serving Christ. They say this is all we need. Undivided loyalty and unswerving trust. I guess as we start this new year, and as some of us, by the way, celebrate our wedding anniversaries today, 40 years, my wife was a child bride, the things that do worry us as the future for us, as some of you realize, will be very different this year. What will it look like? And God says, trust me. Trust me. I can bear all the weight. I can care for you. I will carry you. And I will lavish my grace upon you. In comparison with the death of Jesus, our worries indeed are small. God has demonstrated that he's trustworthy. What are your worries? What are they this year? Will you now just hand them to God and ask for his strength and power so you can trust him? Right now, ask him to help you be aware of when and where you're not trusting Christ. Perhaps your worries are showing you that there are areas in your life that you need to hand to God. I'm going to ask you just for a moment of silence if you would like to pray. Pray asking for forgiveness and seeking to recommit under the power of God's Holy Spirit at work in your life to live for him this year. As the psalmist says, as I finish, you guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Amen.